But first, a man who tells stories through his music. Folk musician Greg Brown is back with us. He lived in Kansas City, but now he and his wife, singer Iris Dement, live up in Iowa City. A critic once described him as a Midwestern existentialist hobo with a quick draw mouth, a bloodied heart, and bourbon on his breath. AllMusic.com called him one of the leading contemporary folk artists in the Midwest, reflecting a poetic spirit while also sounding thoroughly down to earth. He's been at it for 5 decades. Here's Greg Brown performing Arkansas.
Spent many nights with old Jim Beam. Woke up to caffeine and nicotine. All gonna get me, don't know when. Got me before, don't get me again. I'm living for my life, I'm dying for my wife, on Arkansas.
Greg Brown is in town Saturday night at Knuckleheads, and it's such a good pleasure to have him back with us again. He joins us this morning from Columbia, Missouri. And Greg, how are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you doing?
Always appreciate you taking time with us, Greg. And I described you as a Midwestern existentialist hobo with a bourbon on his breath. Are you going to take that from a guy like me?
Sure. Yeah. Why not? I don't know what that means, but
I'm not sure either, but a nice combination of words there.
Yeah.
Well, you've been writing a lot about the passage of time on your 2012 disc, Hymns to What Is Left. You write about having old bones in one song, and in another, you talk about how you've become your grandpa and your father all wrapped up in one man. How is older age treating you these days?
Well, you know, there's an old saying, if your dog dies, you might as well write a song about it. And I suppose there's a little bit of that in there.
Yeah. Are you feeling the age a little bit?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've cut down on touring a lot. And, I mean, I feel pretty good all in all, but, yeah, time goes by and things change. That's life.
Well, you were in Columbia last night. You're in St. Louis tonight. You're back over in Kansas City on Saturday. That's moving pretty fast, Greg.
Oh, well, you know, we're not leaving the great state of Missouri, so it can't be, can't be too bad. I always like getting down here again. You know, as you mentioned, Iris and I lived in Kansas City, and my dad, you know, was from the Ozarks down in a little town, Birch Tree, Missouri.
Yeah, yeah.
Down by the border. So I always feel good when I get back here.
Now, Greg, tell us about your grandparents, because you once told me they played such a big role in your life. Tell us about them.
Well, you know, both sides were, I guess, what you'd call subsistence farmers or something these days. My dad's folks down there, they had a little farm, and my dad worked it with mules when he was a young man. It was a big family. He had 5 brothers and a sister, but it was a pretty peaceful life. At least it was by the time I came along. A pretty little farm, and up in southern Iowa was a little more raucous. My mother's folks were. My grandpa was kind of a wild guy until he got in his 50s and ran a sawmill. Played banjo and fiddle. So, but same deal. Grandpa ran the sawmill. Grandma ran the little farm, and they had a couple pigs and a bunch of chickens and a milk cow and a big garden. And, you know, a lot of people used to live that way. It's kind of amazing how quickly that whole life is just pretty much gone, you know.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, you and Iris were living down in southeast Iowa, and then not too long ago on a farm down there, and then not too long ago, I guess, you told me you moved up to Iowa City. How's that change going for you?
Well, you know, I know Iowa City very well. I lived there before I met Iris and moved to Kansas City. And Iris and I have a little girl who we adopted out of Siberia about 8 years ago. Anyway, she got to the age where the schools in Iowa City were a lot better than the schools out in the little country town. Mm-hmm. And that's really why we moved back to town. And it feels fine. I still go down to the farm, you know, and when I get a little stir crazy in town, I can run down to the farm. It's only about an hour and a half from my city. So.
Describe that farm to us. What's it look like?
You know,
like,
it ain't
Greg?
Really a farm, Steve. I mean, you couldn't call it a farm, really. It's It's actually Southern Iowa's Southern Tier County. A lot of it was old coal mining country, and it's red clay, a lot of hills. My place is, you know, 3/4 of it is just timber and brush, and there's no row cropping right around close to me. You get over by the river, there's some, but it's just kind of, you know, it's like a smaller version of the Ozarks, you could say. I mean, it's very hilly and a lot of wildlife, and
yeah,
and hardly anybody around, you know.
What do you do when you're down there?
Oh, you know, it kind of depends on the weather. I like doing anything outside. I'll just take a tromp back through the woods in the wintertime. I grow a big garden down there in the summertime. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to work on music and songs because it's very isolated. A couple cars a day go by.
No one's going to laugh at you for some goofy lyrics or something like that, right?
Well, I hope not. Yeah, it's just a very peaceful place to just kind of go and sort of recharge, I guess.
So you were in Iowa City. What brought you to Kansas City back in the day?
A woman named Iris Dement.
Yeah.
Iris was living there, and we got married, and we just decided we'd stay in the... We were both working quite a bit at that point, and Kansas City, if you're going to be flying off to Seattle and Washington, D.C., it's a lot better place. But I just took to Kansas City right away, and we found a great church there, St. Mark's Church, Reverend Sam Mann.
I was going to say, the Reverend Sam Mann, yeah, there's such a well-known preacher here in town and such a distinguished mm-hmm. guy.
Yeah, he's a beautiful soul. He's retired now, you know.
Yes, but, he is. Yeah.
He's still fighting a good fight. So we just, you know, I got to know a community of really nice folks through Iris and through the church. And I liked Kansas City. I liked living there.
You know, Sam Mann's going to be fighting a good fight, I think, all the way to the end, Greg. That guy, there's always so much fight in that man, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So you guys were here for how many years?
A little over 5 years we lived there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that you've been at this for a few decades, I mean, do you still have stuff you want to say?
Well, you know, I still really enjoy trying to write. I certainly enjoy singing and playing still. And, you know, I'm a little skeptical about that. Do I have anything else to say? I don't really know. I write some songs, and then I kind of depend on my friends and my family and different people I'm close to say, hey, Greg, you know, you wrote that one before or something like that, you know, and kind of let me know if I'm just doing a lot of retreads and stuff. But for me, it's always been kind of a mysterious process that led me on, you know. I never felt like it was something I was in control of. I would write some songs and I would enjoy that, and then I'd try to write some more like that, and that wasn't going to happen.
Hmm.
Yeah, as a songwriter, I find my main job is to kind of listen and hear what I'm really trying to get at, and it surprises me often, but I still really enjoy the whole thing of trying to, you know, write songs. It's never lost its charm for me.
What's more fun for you, the writing or the performing?
I wouldn't say either one. It's kind of it's a nice job, and you're getting to do a lot of different things. You know, you try to write this stuff, and then you get to go out and perform it, and you get to meet a lot of people, and you get a lot of immediate feedback, like, okay, this song is communicating, or this song is not communicating,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
as the case may be. So it was always kind of one thing to me. I can't imagine. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are just songwriters and a lot of people that are just that are performers, but I always enjoyed both parts of it.
I mean, do you still find that there are times, like, you know, I've been a journalist for a lot of years, and there are times, some days, when the stories flow so easily. Do you still have days when you feel like you could sort of just write 4 or 5 songs in one day, or how does that roll with you?
Yeah, that happens. My experience with that has been, like, if you keep working, you just keep plowing away, and you might not come up with anything for a long time, but if you keep after it. It's almost like the muse says, okay, you put in your time. I'm gonna toss you a couple songs. I think without that work, in my case, it means, I do a lot of writing, just kind of free writing. I do a lot of singing and playing. I learn a lot of songs by other people. I just keep that whole thing going, and I keep plugging away. And then once in a while, you really hit a groove if you're lucky. And like you say, some things just flow.
We're visiting with the great singer and songwriter Greg Brown, who performs in Kansas City on Saturday evening. In fact, he'll be performing at Knuckleheads at 9 o'clock at Knuckleheads Saloon, 2715 Rochester Avenue in Kansas City's East Bottom. The get tickets, 816-483-1456, and I'll put that number out again later on. Greg, you once said you look for something called the heartbeat of the song when you begin to put one together. I'm not sure I understand exactly what the heartbeat of a song is.
Well, I don't know, you could call it the core of the song. I think of songs and this kind of art in general as being alive. I think of songs as being living things. And so if a song is going to be alive and therefore able to communicate with other people, it's got to have a heartbeat. I mean, it's got to have that. It has to have that pulse that living things have. And that's what I respond to. And it could be a painting or someone dancing, it could be a song or a short story, but it's got that life to it, you know. Your hairs go up a little bit. You're in the presence of life, you know, and that's what I try to accomplish when I'm trying to write something.
Let's look for the heartbeat of this song. This is the title track to Greg Brown's 2012 album, Hymns to What Is Left.
I'm on the boogie woogie side of lonesome, where memory inhabits every smell. Don't know what to do with these clothes you left. I'm looking for the heartfelt hotel.
That's Greg Brown performing the title track to his latest album, Hymns to What Is Left. Greg, I know you've been probably asked this a million times, but why haven't you recorded a record with your wife? Because it seems like it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I can answer that. Iris won't. Like when I'm on stage, we have sung a few times at festivals and things.
Yeah.
Iris won't hardly sing with me because she says I never sing them the same way twice. And she loves singing with John Prine because John does them pretty much the same way every time. And Iris says it makes her nervous because she doesn't know what rhythm. And I can't help her because I don't know what's going to come out either. I just start. So, you know, God bless her. That's the deal. She just, I'm too unpredictable, I guess, to try and sing harmony with, which...
You just don't sound like a real dependable guy, Greg.
Well, I just, I'm more of a, what do you call that? I just kind of make it up as I go, you know, with music. I mean, I know the songs pretty much, but I just start in and kind of see where they go.
Yeah.
I don't know, we could probably do some recording because then we could go. And she sings on this new record on a tune, and she sang on a folk record I put out, so we do a little bit of stuff, but...
You know, I can't help but reflect on the fact that, you know, Pete Seeger died this week, and I'm wondering about the power of music, the power of folk music today compared to back in the day. How much has it changed, or has it changed, in your view, Greg?
Well, I think it's really changed a lot. I think Pete Seeger was a giant of a man. I think a lot of what he did a lot of people don't know, there's a great DVD that's kind of a bio of Pete. I got to meet him a few times, but he just was, he was an embodiment of so many different things, and he was really funny. And just a beautiful soul. You know, the folk music really is, in terms of something you'd hear on the radio, you can look right at Pete Seeger and the Weavers. That's when all that stuff started. And
yeah.
He had the number one hit in the country, Goodnight Irene, and then he got blacklisted. You know, he went through the whole deal, and he never backed down. Beautiful guy. In terms of where folk music is now, I really don't know. I think live music and a lot of obviously recording, the whole scene is in flux right now because we're turning into a streaming digital world, and where that's going and whether folk music will fall off the train, I don't really know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, your voice has always been deep, but I think it's reached, you know, new levels of new depths and levels of rawness on this latest album, Hymns to What Is Left. How conscious a decision was that, or was it a choice at all?
You know, one thing about writing songs and then singing them, you have to find out the way to sing the song, and that's just the way those particular numbers worked out. That's really about all I know.
Yeah.
You gotta sing them like you feel them, and that's the way these particular ones turned out.
You know, last year you issued a 30th anniversary edition of your album, The Iowa Waltz. Why did you do that?
That was really Red House's idea.
Ah.
That was the first, back when Red House started, which it started because I was living in a little red shack at the time, so I called it Red House Records, and then a guy named Bob Feldman took it over and turned it into a label. But the first record we put out was The Iowa Waltz. And so Red House, Eric Peltonimi is the fellow who runs that now, and they wanted to put out like a 30th anniversary. Yeah, I mean, the original record sounded like it was recorded in a grain elevator or something. Appropriate, but... And they tried to spiff it up a little bit. I don't know how well they did. But, yeah, that was a Red House project.
Let's do a couple things here. We're going to play the title track from that album. This is The Iowa Waltz. And, again, a reminder that Greg Brown performs tomorrow evening, that Saturday night at 9, at Knuckleheads, 2715 Rochester, down in the East Bottoms. I'll be there. You can call 816-483-1456 for tickets. And, Greg, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for taking
you
some
too,
time.
Steve. Thanks for having me. And I want to mention my friend Bo Ramsey will be with us, too.
That's right. Bo Ramsey's playing with Greg Brown tomorrow night. Good point, Greg. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
See you soon. You bet.
Okay, bye.
Of the corn, the middle of the USA, here's where I was born, here's where I'm going to stay. Iowa, winter, spring, summer.